Democrat Herbert Clay Pell, the grandson of the late former U.S. Senator Claiborne Pell, formally launched his run for governor this morning. And Pell outlined his campaign before a group of more than 200 supporters. It happened at the Rhode Island Convention Center. Rhode Island Public Radio reporter Ian Donis was there and joins us now to talk about it. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Dave.
Okay, please set the scene. Who was at this rally and what did Clay Pell say?
Well, as you say, there was a crowd of more than 200 people. It was hosted by Johnston Mayor Joseph Policina. There was a sprinkling of state reps and other politicos. And there was a lot of deliberate planning in how Pell was introduced. We heard from people like Victor Capian, who's an educator in Central Falls and a longtime activist in Rhode Island's Latino community. We heard from Nuella Pell, Pell's grandmother, the widow, of course, of Claiborne Pell. And we heard from Michelle Kwan, who seems much better known than her husband, Clay Pell. And they all extolled Pell and described him as someone well prepared for the job of governor. Pell, in his own comments, emphasized two things: his biography, how he served with the Coast Guard and worked in the White House and elsewhere in the federal government. And he talked about the economy. There was a lot of broadsides, a lot of kind of general talk, as is typical for many candidates. He did have one very specific initiative. He talked about creating a $10 million fund to help small businesses and entrepreneurs with grants of between $2,500 and $25,000.
Ian, is there anything that struck you about this particular announcement? Here you have a novice really jumping into the race for governor.
Well, it's really something more in the background, Dave. Although it wasn't all that long ago when Angel Taveras and Gina Raimondo announced their campaigns, they had been planning their runs for much longer than Clay Pell. It seems like a switch was turned sometime late last year, and Clay Pell decided he was going to get serious about running for governor. And the real question facing him is whether he'll be able to compete on an equal footing with Taveras and Raimondo. He has a good name, of course, and his family has a lot of fiscal resources to tap into, but the other candidates have been at this a lot longer, so that remains a question.
Clay Pell, the third Democrat now in the primary race for governor, and let's bring in Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay into this conversation. Hello, Scott.
Great to be here, Dave.
Of course, you were at today's announcement, also at the convention center. How does Pell, in your mind, stack up with Providence Mayor Angel Taveras and State Treasurer Gina Raimondo, his primary opponents?
Well, I want to expand on something that Ian just mentioned, which is really in the Democratic Party here, and the Republican Party too, in a way, we're looking at a new generation of politics in Rhode Island. The oldest person in the Democratic primary is Mayor Taveras, who's only 43. Raimondo is a year younger, and Clay Pell, of course, is just 32 years old. Obviously, Pell is going to have to work very hard to get his name out there. I don't think raising money is going to be the problem. I do think, however, that he's got a huge hurdle here, and that is the lack of experience in any elected office. He's essentially asking the voters of Rhode Island to take a big leap of faith in someone not only who's young, but someone who, while he's held important jobs in Washington, he's the only candidate who's served in the military, he's a lieutenant in the Coast Guard, he's got some assets, but he's asking the voters to take a leap of faith in someone who's never held office in Rhode Island.
And we heard the first of questions from reporters about Pell and his qualifications to be governor compared to people like Taveras and Raimondo, who have time serving here in public offices in Rhode Island. And his message or his refrain seems to be that he's a fresh face, he's an alternative, he's kind of got the experience outside of government to lead in government. But as Scott says, it remains to be seen if that'll be a persuasive argument among voters.
We've all seen fresh faces coming into government in the past, and then they spend a certain amount of time successfully or unsuccessfully learning the ropes, learning those shadows in politics, learning how to use influence, how to compromise. Do you see success for him in that vein?
Well, I think the one good thing for Pell is that he has worked in the Obama White House. He mentioned working for Rhode Island native Tom Donilon, who, of course, was National Security Advisor for President Obama. So I don't think that he's really a naif in politics. The problem is, though, he has to quickly earn the trust of the Democratic base. The voters who vote in this primary, they're urban, they're liberal, a lot of Latinos in this group. the interest groups such as organized labor, environmentalists. He has to quickly earn their trust because he has a lack of electoral experience in this state. He's never been elected, you know, to anything, not even the legislature, not a town council. So I think he's going to have to quickly go out there and earn the voters' trust.
It was striking to me that two of the touchstones that Pell touched upon were, of course, his venerable grandfather, who's no longer with us, but who many people know from his many years in the Senate, as well as having given his name for the Pell Grant, the College Grant for Education, as well as former Governor Bruce Sondland, who was the last Democrat to win election in Rhode Island. Lincoln Chafee became a Democrat after already being governor, but Sondland was the last governor to win an election in 1992. And these are familiar names, even beloved names to Democratic insiders. But just how well Pell will mesh in kind of closing the deal remains to be seen. He does have some executive experience that could lend itself to politics. But until you're there, it's hard to know.
Okay, we have Democrats Pell, Raimondo, Taveras officially in for governor. For the Republicans, Ken Block, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. Any other candidates out there, or is this pretty much it?
Well, there are some kind of what I would call token candidates out there. Todd Giroux, who has run for governor before, is running again as a Democrat. But these are people who are kind of protest candidates. They're not going to be able to raise the kind of money to compete on the same level as the other candidates you mentioned, Dave. So I think the field is set now, barring any last-minute surprises.
Scott, there was a three-way Democratic primary in 2002, a more prominent one in 1990. How do you compare this year's three-way race with those elections?
Well, what usually happens is a three-way race, by the time we get to September, September 9th is the primary this year, usually becomes a two-way race. And that remains to be seen, which two candidates will emerge. The problem for the party with a three-way race, and if you look back at 2002, this really hurt Mirth York, Democratic state senator from Providence. She comes out of the Democratic primary over Tony Pires and Sheldon Whitehouse with a narrow victory, Whitehouse finishing second, but she only had 39% of the vote. That's not a good number to go into a general election with when your own party, not even 4 in 10 of your voters, are for you. So if this breaks up three ways, this could be the best thing that happened to, again, Ken Block or Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. We do know one thing. Rhode Island history is littered with Republican gubernatorial victories after the Democrats have had one of their classic teeth on the canvas fights.
And we'll also be watching to see how Clay Pell's candidacy affects the other two Democrats. As we know, Gina Raimondo has had more success raising money, Angel Taveras less so. The kind of conventional wisdom among political observers is that Pell's entry could be a drag on Taveras' campaign, and we'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think when you have two men and a woman, they're both, everybody's qualified here. They all went to Harvard. This has to be the only Democratic primary with three graduates from Harvard.
Okay, Rhode Island Public Radio, Scott McKay and Ian Donis, thanks for taking the time to talk politics with us.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.